just explain to me what it must be like now to be not just a Welsh football fan, but somebody just from the country. What an amazing, amazing feeling it must be.
I've been a Welsh supporter all my life. I was fortunate to play for the national team on 15 occasions. I was part of the squad for 15 years. Never got anywhere near qualification for a major championship. You know, it's been a long time, a lot of tried, a lot of missed out. We narrowly missed out in 93 against Romania, and then in 2003 we lost to Russia in the playoffs. So it's long overdue. So absolutely proud, delighted, ecstatic, all those types of words. I can't believe it, and it won't sink in, John, until I'm sat in front of the telly on December the 12th, watching the draw, and when that ball gets picked out and the piece of paper with Wales on it, and to see what group we're in and who we've got in our group.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. What a feeling it's going to be. I think everybody in the country is going to be glued to a TV set to see that. And of course, in a pot where you could get some pretty big hitters coming up, but I'm pretty sure that Wales and Chris Coleman's boys aren't going to be fearing anybody right now.
What? I don't think we will. We are going to have a tough group. Because of our lack of qualification in the past, we're going to be in pot four. I think Northern Ireland are in there with us as well. But as you say, these lads and Chris Coleman, there's no fear factor anymore. They've got a superb team spirit. Togetherness in the camp. They're full of confidence. And we've got a superstar in Gareth Bale. You know, we are so lucky to have him. He has grabbed the headlines in this campaign with the goals that he scored and the goals that he's created. But the strength of this team, John, is defensively, we are so hard to beat. And we don't concede goals. I mean, we didn't concede a goal in 7 of the 10 qualifying games. That is some record. It really is. And that's why we are not going to be easy to beat in France. And we're not going there to make up the numbers. You know, we are going there to get out of the group. We know it's not going to be easy. We're going to have some tough games ahead. But they'll be full of confidence. And I don't think anybody at the minute would want to face Wales. I mean, we've played Belgium 4 times and they've only beaten us once in the 4. So, you know, and they're number one rankings in Europe at the minute. So we're not a bad side.
Yeah, looking good, aren't they? And as you say, you know, there's going to be all the plaudits in the world for Gareth Bale. And obviously, he plays for Real Madrid. He's a big name. He's a marquee player. But you look at some of the other players in your side as well. Ashley Williams has been an absolute rock at the back, hasn't he? Aaron Ramsey putting in a great performance too. And you look at some of the other lads as well. I mean, there must be some unsung heroes in that side.
Yeah, there is. I'll name you two straight away. Young Chris Gunter, 63 caps he's got for Wales now, in my opinion. He'll be the first Welshman to reach 100 caps. Hal Rodzinkanu can't get a game for Reading, I don't think. They must have some team because he's been outstanding in this campaign and he's been asked to play up front on his own. He's a natural left winger, but he's been superb, absolutely superb. He's strong, he's quick, he works the channels well. Hasn't scored the goals that he might think he should have. He's not a natural goal scorer. But he gives us that movement, that pace up front, which we need. You know, Joe Ledley's in there. You've got Neil Taylor at left back. Dave Edwards and Andy King have come in when Joe Ledley and Joe Allen have been injured. It's been a collective thing, not just the starting 11. And I think it proves that Chris has got strength and depth. Probably something that we haven't had for many, many years.
And what a wonderful tribute, in a way, to Gary Speed. He did a lot of fantastic work. Chris Coleman took that over, but it is probably going to be in their hearts as they go over to France, isn't it?
I mean, him and Chris were best friends. And it was a difficult job for Chris to take because he was taking over from Gary, you know, an absolute legend for Wales. And as I said, they were very, very close. And Chris found it hard to fill Gary's boots at the beginning. He didn't really want to change much. I think he lost his first 5 games to Chris in charge of the Welsh side, and it took a 6-1 hammering away at Serbia for Chris to suddenly realise, if I don't do things my way and make my own decisions, I'll be out of a job. And there was a few home truths said after that Serbia game. He took the captaincy off Aaron Ramsey and gave it to Ashley Williams to let Aaron concentrate on his own game and his own job. and we've not looked back. But we, you know, Gary started the revolution. You know, there's other people. John Toshak, even though I was quite critical of John, he took her to 117th in the rankings. But he gave these youngsters an opportunity that the likes of Chris Gunter, Joe Ledley, Aaron Ramsey, Gareth Bale, who have got 50, 60 caps now, they're experienced players, and they're only, you know, 24, 25, 26.
Yeah, there's some good young players there, isn't there, who are getting Premier League, European experience and looking good. And they're going to be able to take that over to France, which is just really, really advantageous for the side, isn't it?
I think it's great. You know, I'm gutted Scotland haven't made it. You know, England have qualified comfortably in quite an easy group. Northern Ireland have probably achieved more than Wales, in all honesty, because the top of the group that they were in, they've not qualified since 86 with, I wouldn't say they're as good a squad of players as Wales have got, but they've got a very similar spirit, and Michael O'Neill deserves all the credit in the world for what he's achieved in Northern Ireland. So I think it's great. There's going to be three home nations there. Obviously, Republic, they've got a playoff to come up, but it's just a shame that Scotland, I think it'd be a great tournament with the four home nations going there.
Oh, it would have been brilliant, wouldn't it? It would have been an absolute dream for that to happen. But sadly, Scotland didn't make it in the end. And I know there's always a bit of banter about this, isn't there? But we've already mentioned various rankings. Just looking at FIFA right now, look at the FIFA World Rankings. Sitting very pretty in 8th place are Wales, and in 10th, England. Well, we get all the banter, but that must feel pretty good.
It does. But, I mean, it means you're playing well, you're winning games, you're picking results up. But unless you're qualifying for World Cups and European Championships, it doesn't really say much about you, in all honesty. And I don't think English fans would have minded if Wales were above them and Wales hadn't qualified and England had. But as I say, it shows we're going in the right direction. You know, I think the win in Cardiff a few months ago against Belgium sort of gave us that boost that we needed to leapfrog England. But if we do, you know, if England and Wales are in the same group in the Euros and England beat us, those FIFA rankings don't mean a thing.
Very true.
It's all what happens on the day.
Yeah, it's all about what happens on the day in the end, doesn't it? It doesn't matter. It's like a local derby. You know, the form book goes out the window, as they like to say, with all the old cliches. So, quick final point on the national side now. Obviously, it's fantastic getting to Euro 2016, going to France. But what's next? Is it qualification for 2018? Is that the big thing now? Do you want to press on and qualify for two tournaments in a row?
I think it's got to be, hasn't it? I think we've got to show consistency now. I think Chris's contract is up after the... After the Euros, and you know, I think deep down, I think he would love to take this group of players into a World Cup. And looking at the squad of players, they're all in a good age. We've got one or two in their early 30s. Ashley Williams, our captain, he's 31, I think, so he'll only be 33 when the World Cup comes around. So we're not going to lose any of these players. That's the most important thing. And I think they're only going to get better. You know, I've spoken about their ages, all in their mid-20s, all very experienced. So I think that's what we need to do now. We can't wait another 57 years like we have since 1958 to qualify for another major tournament. We've got to now start doing it on a regular basis. If we're going to keep that 8th FIFA ranking, you know, be as consistent as England have been over the past decades qualifying for major championships.
Yeah, definitely. It's the way forward, isn't it? I think this group of players are going to be sticking together now and looking to qualify for 2018, get into the World Cup, which would be fantastic for the country. Let's look at your club career now. Obviously, one of the clubs that you played for was in our White Rose County, of course, Huddersfield Town, and they've got a very big game coming up this weekend. Are you getting a chance to follow Terry as much at the moment?
You know, I always look out for their results. Loved my 3.5 years up at Huddersfield. Had a great relationship with the fans. And yeah, they're not too far away because I live in Norwich these days. So they're only down the A140 down at Ipswich. And it's obviously a game I'd love for them to go there and absolutely smash Ipswich, being a former Norwich player.
Yeah, definitely.
A bit of a tough start for Chrissy Powell. I mean, he's lost a couple of key players. But they've had a couple of decent results in recent weeks. You know, the win away at Charlton was an important one. and that was followed up by, you know, when they hammered Bolton at home, 4-1. But then, you know, a couple of weeks ago they lost at Wolves, so they need a reaction now. So no better way than on the road, down at Portman Road. If they can go back with a point or hopefully three, then it'll hopefully start a run which will see them gradually climb up the table, because they're sitting in 18th position. As I said, hasn't been the best of starts for Chris and the club, but hopefully over the next few weeks they can pick up enough points to get themselves away from that relegation zone.
And Hughes is looking good, isn't he? Emir Hughes, of course, is on loan from Wigan at the moment, and he's their leading goal scorer so far. 4 goals, 4 games. Can he make it 5-5?
Very good player, very good player. I've seen him on a couple of occasions for Wales. You know, he's an attacking midfielder. Started off at Swansea, and Man City saw the potential in Emir at an early age and took him up to the Etihad. And you know, looking at the Man City squad, he's always going to find it hard to break into that. So he's had to go out on loan. He's been at Wigan. Obviously, Town have taken him on loan. And he's had a fantastic start. The 4 goals, as you said, in 5 games. And that's what he gives you. He's a very, very good attacking midfield player. And he will get you goals. And, you know, another, 22-year-old lad. Still learning his trade, if you like. But at the minute, what a start. I wish I'd made the type of start that he has for his town career.
Yeah, he's done all right, hasn't he? He's not doing too shabby. What memories have you got from playing at Huddersfield at that wonderful stadium? It's a really nice stadium to play in, I think. What memories have you got from playing there?
You know what? I never played there.
Oh, did you?
I played at Leeds Road.
Oh, yeah, of course. You would have,
yeah,
wouldn't you? Yeah.
I think I left, and within maybe a season, they'd moved across the road to... It's the McAlpine now, isn't
it's
it?
It's John Smith's now.
John Smith, yeah. So I don't think I ever got a chance to play there in the famous blue and white stripes, but loved Leeds Road, you know, proper old school stadium with a cow shed to the left. You have the big bank opposite the main stand where the majority of the town fans went, and just loved my time there. I mean, we went close and we should have got promoted in my second season when we lost to Peterborough in the playoffs. I mean, we should have gone up automatically. We had a good side. We had Big Jacko and Gray Mitchell at centre back. We had Simon Charlton at left back. We had Kieran O'Regan and Chrissy Marsden in the middle. Simon Trevitt right back. Myself and Starby, you know, scoring goals up front. It was a good side, and how we never won promotion, God only knows. But great times.
Good times at Huddersfield, and hopefully more will come. I'll tell you what, there's been this price of football survey that's come out again today that the BBC have been doing, and we've been talking about this with the Football Supporters Federation today, as obviously there's lots of campaigns, Get 20s Plenty and all this kind of stuff, and the away ticket prices. Huddersfield doing £10 tickets, and you know what, they're getting a lot of praise for this.
No, that's brilliant. It really is, because you know, you're taking the game away from the normal person, if you like, the proper football fans who can't afford to take their families there, because ticket prices are so expensive. You know, if you want to watch a Premier League game, you're talking £45, £50, £60 these days, and it's just impossible to do. You know, with all the finances from the TV money, I think football teams, especially Premier League clubs, can't afford to drop prices. You know, wages have gone sky high. And as I say, you're just taking it away from the proper football fan.
Yeah, I think it is time that there's a lot of change happens right now. We've already been talking about this earlier on today, saying that I think more fans groups, you know, should be seen by clubs, really. They should all get together and talk this whole thing through. And then maybe, you know, there'll be a better way for fans to get more involved with their club, which would be wonderful. So, Ewan, just finally, what have you been up to at the moment? I've seen you on the telly recently.
Yeah, I've sort of been working in the media for the past, 9 years, mainly for BBC Wales, covering Swansea and Cardiff games. So I'll be up at Huddersfield, no doubt, this season when Cardiff are the visitors. Then the odd bit for Sky, the odd bit for TalkSport. And I really enjoy it. You know, it wasn't for me going down the coaching route or the managerial route. Really enjoy talking about the game and summarising and being a second voice and, you know, giving an opinion as an ex-professional footballer. I've covered every single Welsh game in those past 9 years and really, really enjoy it. Do a lot of travelling, but I suppose I'm used to that from my playing days, really. The only difference is now I have to I have to make it my own way there rather than sit on a comfortable coach playing cards at the back.
Yeah, that's very true. But you don't have to train, though. That's the whole thing. You don't have to bother doing any of that or jumping in ice baths afterwards.
No, I still keep myself relatively fit. I've got the gym most days. Just to, if I'd become one of these ex-fat professional footballers, like, you know, 17, 18 stone, and I don't really want to be that. When I finished, I sort of didn't really do much training, and I put a little bit of weight on. And I thought, like, got to sort myself out, got to do something about this, and started working out in the gym, and lost about 3 stone in just under 4 or 5 months. And that's the way it's got to be. Don't want to be 17, 18 stone ex-professional footballer, which I think there's one or two out there that have let themselves go, and I don't want to go down that route.
I've always kind of thought about this, and again, I'm just kind of like dropping another round finally here with this one, but the day that they turned out that, you know, you'd finished your career, that was it, was your last day on the pitch. What was it like sort of the day after for you? I've always wanted to sort of ask an ex-player that. What was it like for you when you didn't have to get up and go into training? It must have felt weird.
It was weird. But I've got to be honest, it was a relief. I'd played until I was 37. I started when I was 17. I'd had a long career, and touch wood, I hadn't picked up any serious knee injuries, but I'd lost my enthusiasm for the game. And I'd always been told that, you know, if you miss the game when you retire, then you retire too early. I don't miss playing now, John. And it was strange at the beginning. You know, you've got your routine, you've got to be disciplined. You could go out when you wanted to. You could eat what you want. You could have the odd pint of beer if you wanted on a Friday night. Something obviously that you couldn't do when you were playing. I don't miss playing. I don't really miss the dressing room side of it. If I'm totally honest with you, and I think that shows that it was the right time for me to stop playing, to hang the boots up and go into another career. And I really enjoy what I do now. And I think it probably has helped me get over my playing days.
Well, seeing you on the TV and talking to you today, it's absolutely, really cemented that fact that you are definitely loving your career post being on the pitch. Ewan, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations to Wales. What an achievement. Absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure we'll hear some more wonderful stories about Huddersfield Town very, very soon.
Hopefully, John. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.